Okay, so here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to be a guy?
I mean, when I was a little kid, absolutely. Yes.
Why?
Yes. Why?
Yeah, or like in what circumstance?
I just like, well, I was like a tomboy really hard. Mm-hmm. And I like wanted to dress like a boy. I wore boys' underwear in elementary school. And one time this girl in the stall next to me like saw it from under the stall. And she was like, there's a boy in the girl's bathroom. There's a boy in the girl's bathroom.
Oh, no.
And I was just sitting there like, fuck. And so then I came out and she saw that it was me. And she called to her friend and she was like, it's okay. It's just a girl that looks like a boy.
Oh, no.
So... yeah. But yeah, I don't like, I'm like totally cool with being a girl, but when I was a little boy, mm-hmm. I did want to be a little boy.
I mean, I like
did
that.
You?
I mean, oh God, I don't think I did like when I was a kid, but I can like think of one frequent circumstance in which I'm always jealous of boys, and that's when people can like dip into an alley in the city and pee, and I'm like,
you need to get one of those funnels.
But like, what am I gonna do? Put that in my fucking purse and just like drip urine into my handbag afterwards?
Yeah, we should maybe create like a soft
sort of
plastic
carrying case,
collapsible one that
I don't
roll
know.
Up.
I don't know. Something out there, trademark, get at that. But that, and then I feel like distinctly when I've like traveled in other countries and I've been by myself or with only another girl, I've been like, man, I think I would actually solo travel if I were a dude.
1,000%.
But I don't think like there are a lot of places I don't feel like I would go now.
No, and I'd like run at night and do like a lot of other stuff I don't do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, since we're not guys... I feel like we're gonna have to seek some help on this episode.
We most definitely need help.
Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
Shalom.
And so we could say you're a numerologist, if you will. And that's addiction.
A like 4x dick. Like, it's like four times as large as usual.
Like, how does your navel get like that?
Right.
That's disgusting.
How, though?
I wouldn't want to live in Amish country permanently, but I would visit as a booty call.
I was so distracted by the sexy mystery, fuck.
It's totally fine. I said sexy mystery, and you were like, this one time?
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. I'm going to peak in high school and then die.
Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we... dissect some part of our culture, human behavior, things people are into, whatever, in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That's Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati.
And that's Austin Williams, also with me in Cincinnati.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm so excited.
Live in person, not happening live. It's
not
live.
Super live.
It's not super live.
It's pre-recorded.
It's fine. Yeah, you're welcome. But today, tonight, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening to this, we... have some friends with us today.
We do. It's a special episode.
We didn't think we could talk, you know, for give or take an hour about men without actually finding some to help us facilitate that.
I'm not a man. You're not a man.
Yeah, yep. Well, when you were a little boy, it was a different time. But so who's helping us? Yeah, who's helping us today? So I'm going to introduce our first homie and then let him introduce himself a little bit. But our friend Michael is with us. So I wanted to tell you just a little bit about how we know each other. Michael,
can I say hi?
Hi. So that lovely, lovely voice. He and I met in kindergarten. And I had like a giant crush on him. And I remember vividly like one specific time that we were like playing at my house and my mom let us ride like roller skates on the carpet.
Right.
And it was just like.
I also remember a ton of stuffed animals.
I like that feels on brand for my
just
youth.
In one place and just being incredibly proud of them. And that's very much on brand with me.
So we hit it off. We were homies in kindergarten. And then. When the, like, I don't know, the way our public school juju of convening worked, we were separated. We went to different neighborhood schools, kind of fell off.
Right, almost right away, like first grade.
Almost
no,
like
second grade.
Yeah, like second grade. But then we're reunited in sixth. And we're just like, oh my God, like you're my best friend from kindergarten. So I feel like we're probably going to be best friends again. And
wow,
so
that was a silver lining of middle school.
One of them. Yeah. I mean, there weren't a ton.
Yeah.
But then I feel like I took a lot of extreme pride because Michael and Jamie have become really good friends, and I like to credit myself with that. So I'm going to own that.
You set us up.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's how we know each other, but what else should anyone know about you?
I'm a writer and an editor. I love to read. I'm gay. I love being gay. Yeah.
And you married.
And I'm married.
Yeah.
I have a little dog. I live in Cincinnati, born and raised.
Perfect.
I love it here and I hate it here.
Yeah. I feel like people's hometown vibes. Yeah. But love,
I mostly love it here.
I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Michael, welcome to the program.
Michael, welcome to the program.
And how long have we known each other?
Since sixth grade.
Sixth grade. When I introduced you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So almost 20 years.
11. Yeah. When we're 31, it will be 12 years. I mean, 10 years. Wow. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So welcome, Michael.
Welcome, Michael, to the program.
Our other dude that we have with us today is my friend Peter. Peter's become friends with everyone, but
you can claim credit for this.
Yes, absolutely.
When I moved into the dorms at the University of Cincinnati, when I was a freshman, I lived on a co-ed floor, and in the room next to us was what I thought was like a 30-year-old fully grown man with like a large beard, and I was just like, why is there a full grown man in the room next to me? Anyway, we met at like a just like a floor mixer
party
and whatever the that was.
We were just like, our dorms were right next to each other.
Yeah.
So we ran into each other
a lot,
fairly often.
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually became friends.
You guys were in the same school, right?
Yeah, we both were
both in DAP.
Yeah.
We were both in DAP. And then we stayed friends all through college. Then we were in a band together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter helped me move from California to Cincinnati when I moved back a couple years ago. So we did a long-haul trip together, and he loaded all my furniture into a crate. So he's a great guy, and he covers up swastikas when he sees them graffiti.
One of my favorite stories about you, actually. American hero.
So welcome, Pete. Is there anything else you'd like to say about yourself?
I guess just more to pertaining, talking about dude stuff. I'm an ex-metalhead, ex-all-dudes Catholic schoolboy.
Oh, yeah.
Ex-stand-up comic. Just really been involved in almost
a lot of
every
manly.
Every sort of like
rugby.
Dude culture. Yep.
Yeah.
Was involved in Catholic school sports, so got that covered. And am, I guess, refreshingly the token straight dude right now. So that's nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is nice.
Well, we have everything represented.
We got a straight chick.
Amongst white people.
Amongst white people. We're also going to own that.
Amongst white cis people.
Yeah, we want to throw that out.
We're being representative.
Disclaimer, that's who's at the table. So we're talking very like man v woman from like a white lens. We've got different sexual orientations represented, but we don't represent everything.
We'll talk about what we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So to jump in.
Yeah. I mean, I think just to like get down and dirty into it, I wanted to kind of direct a question at both of you and hear maybe different perspectives, different experiences. I hope so. On what you think makes someone masculine or what specific traits you consider masculine.
Yeah.
Michael, what do you think?
It's hard because I don't know if I even think masculinity actually exists, because I think that so much of like what makes someone or something masculine has just been decided upon by cultural gender norms and rules, and I don't I don't identify with a lot of those anyway.
Yeah.
But if I'm thinking about it, I guess I don't know, because I feel really masculine, but I don't, and that's really important to me that I do identify as a man and masculine, and I think because I like shirk what's supposed to be masculine is what makes me feel masculine.
Being like subversive about it.
Not intentionally. The older I get, the more being like I'm pretty secure in my masculinity because it's my masculinity. If that makes sense.
I love that, and I feel like I remember when you so graciously helped take pictures for the podcast. We were kind of talking and I feel like getting reacquainted before you like let someone take like pictures of you for an hour, which was stressful for me, so thank you. But you at some point made the comment, and I honestly, I think we got to this, and I don't remember what the exact conversation was, but we were talking about like the ways in which like straight people are into gay relationships in movies. And somehow we got onto this, and you just made the comment that you were like, I love being a man. Like, I'm very into being a man. I don't want to be any other way. And in some weird way, like, I'm like, yeah, of course. But as like, I just have never thought about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, like, this is probably something, because you're gay, that people maybe project that you want to be a different way.
Well, especially because a lot of times when people, when I say things or do things that are less masculine, it's because I'm gay. Mm. But, and that really frustrates me, because mm-hmm. it's like, no, I mean, yes, I am, and I'm really proud to be, but I'm also very proud to identify with the gender I was born into. And so, like, why can't that also be masculine?
Like, yeah,
why,
like, those, like, aren't mutually exclusive.
Which is why, yeah. like, well, anyway, I'll go into that later, but yeah, I still feel that way. Like, it's very important to me that I feel like a man on my own terms.
I love that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. How you feel yeah. like a man, Pete?
Honestly, pretty much the same way. It might just be sort of how we're raised in, like, the culture nowadays, mm-hmm. and that it feels weird to ascribe certain characteristics, masculine and feminine, because, mm-hmm. like, everyone can be everything without sort of having to define that. But I think mostly I just look for someone who's comfortable with themselves and doing what they like doing, yeah. regardless of what it is. It's not like, I also think, like, I work in advertising sort of now, and so much of what gender norms are perceived has some sort of root in that of like portraying.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, like it goes back to like the Marlboro Man, stuff like it's that. Like,
this,
this is what a man looks like, and or on the other side of like, oh, this is what a lady likes, and it's the femininity
like
of
men
it.
Men don't smoke Parliaments.
Yeah,
usually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's such a good point. And think about the Gillette commercial that just came out. That was mm-hmm. that. I don't know if you guys have seen
it. I don't know.
Give brief me a refresh, because I don't watch television.
So Gillette, in the past,
the best a man can get.
And it's very masculine, macho, like making shaving not feminine.
But they also make the Venus. So.
And Gillette is like a feminine word. Like, but it ends in E-T-T-E.
Wait, this is Gillette, right?
Yeah, this is Gillette. Though,
so
yeah.
they recently came out with an ad that was... How would you describe
it? It was basically trying to take down the idea of boys being boys, of like, we can do better. We don't need to just like let this sort of stuff run wild.
Right.
So it was in the mindset of like, just like being like, locker room talk's not a good explanation.
Yeah, it was like subverting sort of what they had done for generations of like, you're a man, you've got this beard that you gotta keep cut and like tough. And then instead of it, it was just like, hey, there are other types of masculinity that.
And just like, if you see a boy picking on another boy, and you're like a man or a dad, not just being like, well, it's, you know, boys rough, like, or rough
toughen
house.
Them
yeah.
up. Yeah.
Like, break it up and tell them why it's wrong. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And the response was, of course, mostly very positive, but men specifically were banning.
Yeah.
Gillette,
there's that subset of people who are get angry.
Like men's rights.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of MRA folk.
Which is all about marketing.
But, yeah, and exactly.
What you're saying and how we have like this for men, this for women, when
exactly,
it's the
yeah.
same product.
Yeah.
Can we talk about shaving real quick, actually? Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about it.
Because so when I was little, and you asked me at the beginning of the episode if I ever wanted to be a boy, and like when I was maybe like 4 or 5, kind of when you're in like prime, like taking a lot of baths for fun, area,
yeah,
playing with the foam, like, yeah,
used to be really fun,
painting on the walls, yeah,
shaving cream when like,
exactly.
you're just spraying it,
yeah. So I had this little like Lion King shaving kit for children.
These. I remember these,
yeah, and it had the little brush and it had like a fake straight razor, yeah. and I would like sit in the bath and shave my face over and over for hours.
Delightful,
yeah. But I think like, I don't know. It's so funny because, and my mom came in and she was like, oh, like you can like also shave your legs. And I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I had to get my leg out of the water. Did you guys like, I thought that was super fun and like an adult thing, even though like I would never grow hair on my face.
Right.
And so like, that's weird and complicated. But like, did you guys like practice shaving or have like family feels about like when you started shaving?
Oh, I know. Yeah, I started shaving when a teacher in 7th grade told me I had to shave.
Oh,
wow.
Sweet baby.
Shaved.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
no, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, hair
puberty
generally
shaved.
With boys is like, is a is centered around shame because
mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yes. I was like one of the first boys growing up that had hair on his legs and the locker room.
I do remember
you
that.
Developed early.
Yeah. And I still like, I was teased about that. Mm. Like the very first day of gym in sixth grade. Cause aww. I was like, we started changing for gym and that has like, I choose clothing and like decisions purely because of that. Like still to this day, I'm almost 30. Like, being aww. Like, because at that point it was something to be made fun of, and then other boys started getting it, but it was masculine and like,
yeah,
I'm a man now because I have hair in places that I should. But, for me, it was like,
who's this?
Yeah,
yeah, and exactly. I was already a target anyway, but like, that was probably part of it. So yeah, I mean, like,
yeah,
I really hid from shaving. I shaved really early. Sorry, because mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want any hair because I'm going to be made fun of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then I don't know. I never really had that scene that you usually get in like old movies or something, where like a dad's is like, "Well, this is how you shave, son."
With the grain against the grain.
It was more just like, "Oh, cool, you're going to get detention if you don't shave." So here's how this works.
Oh wow.
Well, I will say, as someone who like I went to the all girls like swing side of Catholic school, there are a lot of weird things, like different things at the all-boys school, different things at the all-girls school, that they want to keep your appearance really a certain way. And I know mm-hmm. a lot of guys who like got a lot of shit for either how you cut your hair.
Yeah,
if you weren't shaving, really, like your appearance was like really like not optional in some capacity.
Well, and you have a uniform. And so it's like, what do you get? Like,
at what point do you get to decide on your own?
Yeah. At my high school, they had a test to see whether you had a shave or not, where they had a tiny little spring.
Stop.
No.
And they would stick it to your face, and if it stuck to your face, they'd rip it off, and you had to shave.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
That's like, this is like the tape measure stuff about like how low guys wore their pants, or like doing the fingertip test with girls.
Fingertip test.
All that stuff is so fucked.
Yeah.
That's rough for like... There are different sides of that, but I don't like any of it.
Right. Well, and one time my shorts were too short in high school. And so instead of like calling my mom and seeing like, can I go home and get a different pair of jeans? What they started doing was, and Michael, maybe you remember this, but they started giving girls a pair of boys' gym shorts.
And then wear like boys' gym uniform.
And then we're wearing the boys' gym uniform to class all day. And it's like weirdly like shaming. But it kind of became like a badge of honor because you're like, I was forced to change out of what I wore.
Because it was too hot for school.
Too hot for school. Yeah.
But these are literally too hot for school.
Yeah.
I'm wearing shorter clothing because this is a public school with no air conditioning.
No air conditioning.
Right. That's a problem.
God. Speaking of high school, and you touched on this a second ago, but like, I just wanted to ask you guys, and you may or may not have anything to say about this, but I like want to know about like locker rooms and urinal situations.
Yeah, you brought up like having this like gym class experience that was like shameful, but like what is I remember hiding in ways and like
I hated it.
I used to hide like when I had to change for gym, and then
sneak into the shower.
Right.
Well, when like you get your period and then you like don't want anyone to know you have your period, but you have to change your clothes, and then like you can't be the girl who's going to the bathroom stall to change your clothes because then people are like, what's wrong with that girl?
Yeah.
So
I'm so glad you're saying this.
The guy
from my perspective, at least, like it's to go back to like specifically masculinity. Mm. It's not considered masculine to be insecure about your body.
Yeah, so well, that's the hair thing. Yeah. Is like it could be gross or it can be.
But
manly.
Also, like I'm supposed to be really comfortable, like at any point, no matter when, to take my shirt off
and like, treat your body
tits out and like.
Yeah,
I'm just not that kind of guy. Like I don't like being. Without my shirt on.
Yeah.
So, like, in the locker room, that was, like, heightened because we're all mostly... We're, like, down to our underwear at, like, a really formative time in our lives.
Yeah.
Like,
everybody's already incredibly really insecure because you're changing and hormonal.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Some people are stretched out and
so,
some
like,
people are puffy.
So, like, today, like, I hate going into the locker rooms and, like...
I hate it at the gym still.
I almost refuse to do it. Like, I just hate it.
Yeah. I strategically set up my schedule in high school so that I would never have to change in the locker room.
Oh, my God.
To, you put it, like, at, like, lunch or something?
To the point that I took summer gym just to be like, cool, I just won't have to deal with it.
I would have loved summer gym.
And then, like, the one time I had to take a PE class, it was my last class of the day, and I knew I had, like, I could either leave or I had rugby practice, so it was just going to be sweaty regardless. Right.
Yeah. Was it different at rugby practice than in gym?
Or just sports in general?
Yeah, it's a little, like, you don't think about it as much because it's more of a sort of just something you have to do to change into a uniform.
Yeah.
And so everyone is just sort of focused on, like, I got to get prepped, so this is just a part of that.
Oh, you're not, like, fucking around as
much. Yeah, not as much. Sometimes, like, after a game, it's more sort of like a camaraderie thing, I guess, where you're thinking more of, like, oh, we won, so we're not too worried about, like, worrying about like what everyone looks like. And it's also a thing where, like, you're playing a sport and you're just kind of like generally fit.
Well, and I guess
so
one
you're not
thing,
super
right.
Ashamed. Like, I never had an issue being shirtless. Pantsless is more like, that's just like that general teenage sort of homophobia thing of
right.
like, oh, don't look at my dick, man.
Right.
Sort yeah. of yeah. thing that like most straight kids had.
Yeah. Is there a lot of like locker room dick tap?
Oh, yeah. In sports?
Okay.
All the time.
Well, and also just like, I remember one time we were going back into the locker rooms after gym and one of the guys, and I can't remember his name, came up to me and just like pretended to start like fucking me from behind. But it was like shaming. Like it felt very shameful.
I know, but for him to like think of that. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
It was just like,
wow.
I just was like, why do I, like, what do I do now? Like, do I
laugh?
Yeah,
it was such a weird
Like, do you
time.
Laugh? Do you cry? Do you like get mad? And like, say like
and your response is like weirdly revealing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I just like internalized all of it.
Yeah, even though he did it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Exactly. No one's paying attention to like why they're doing it. It's more of like, oh, well, how are you going to react to this?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's like everyone's saying that like in like gay sex that like the top is gayer than the bottom.
Right.
Or no, the bottom is gayer than the top. Sorry, is what they
There's
say.
There's a lot of bottom shaming.
Yeah. Which is fucking ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
But also like that's not true. Like the person on the bottom could not want it. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, did that one just really?
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
So we've talked like a little bit about like locker room juju and like some of the specifics of how I feel like men can feel self-conscious about their bodies or like hair, about like your chest, any of that. But I guess I feel like generally culturally the expectations of like body image and the conversation about there being unrealistic body expectations is primarily centered around women and that we're saying like they're like, I think people are more open about like women having a lot of self-loathing about the way they look and that there are these like expectations that we can't meet or that you have to like at some point have like some sort of a self-acceptance moment to go, I'm never going to look the way I'm supposed to.
Right. It does feel like we're all supposed to have that moment actually.
Right.
Right. And that's really
Which ebbs and flows. Like some days I do get there and some days I'm like, that's a lie.
Right.
Yeah. I'm really disappointed.
So. Right. No,
but
no,
so
no,
to
no,
that
totally.
Point, yeah.
So I can think of the things that we talk and I feel like a lot of that for women does center around our weight.
Yeah. And our skin and our hair and our clothing, but mostly our weight.
I feel like weight feels like the most pervasive. And I'm like, as like a man, do you feel like weight is like put on men in the same way, or are there other things that you think are more prevalent? What do you feel like the big like?
Yeah, because no one's like asking dudes. Right.
And I also feel like to that point, women are given a lot more space as of now to talk about the fact that we feel very shamed.
Well, we're allowed to be mad about that.
Like,
I've actually thought about masculinity a lot in listening to your guys' podcast,
And
especially in the Comparisons episode, which I loved. It's one of my favorite
episodes.
Thank you. Hot takes, check out the comparison episodes. Shameless plug.
No, that is an amazing episode because it had really good conversation anyway. What someone mentioned in that, talking about this, how women compare, specifically compare their bodies to other women, and how especially at the gym, and how that might be a female thing. And I do that constantly with other men, especially with weight, especially at the gym. I mean, and there's never a right answer, which is frustrating because it's like, I'm not as fit as that person.
Oh.
I'm not as meaty as that person. I'm not as skinny as that guy, I should be saying, because it's always towards other men. And the thing that's really frustrating about that is that, for me at least, is that it's not masculine to compare yourself to other men.
Yeah.
And it's also not masculine to talk about it. So it's like,
Cool.
So I'm like feeling these insecurities, but I'm also not allowed to like voice
them.
No,
you just have
to
like crush them.
Yes. And then they
which
just
is
like
another like very manly thing.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, just crush those feelings.
Yes. And then only show rage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just be filled with rage.
Guys, wait, that's how I am. Yeah. Fine.
You became that little boy after all.
Yeah. It turns that man.
Turned into that man. Okay. It's not about me. We'll keep talking.
No, but I mean, like, that's frustrating. And if you look at, like, suicide rates,
it's so invalidating.
Among men and women, like, men, suicide rates are, like, really significant.
Significant.
And really high. But I think the most recent study I saw was from 2016, from some point to 2016.
Yeah.
In the U.S. And, like, the number was like 35,000 men versus I can't remember how many women. And not that like it's a competition, it's but not, it's that.
But yeah, no, but there's no space for men to like talk about how they're feeling. Yeah. And so like getting to that point is probably easier.
It's really scary and sad.
It's really scary. Yeah. Mm. And like, I don't know, maybe this is me like falling into a cultural trap, but like I feel like there's also maybe some vibes about like men being like more willing to be violent. And so like suicide is like a violent act against yourself. Mm-hmm. And so like maybe there's some connection there with yeah. why it's higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
What other parts, I don't know, Pete, like do you feel in terms of like comparison or like body image? I want to like voice because people can't see you. You're a very tall guy. That
I was going to say, mm-hmm. I might be talking from the most privilege in this respect because I've just naturally always been like tall and generally in shape, and I've been able to quote unquote sort of pass where
sure.
I've never really had to, where I'm like, yeah, I'm taller than that person. I've got decent muscle. Like definition, it's never been something.
Can I ask you a question
really
though?
Yeah,
that's really probably true. And but having met you, like you were like one of the gentlest and sweetest people I have ever met.
Truly, everyone would agree.
So do you? Is that a frustration for you though? Is that like
that is actually a thing that I've been thinking about recently in the past couple of years? Because one of the reasons I am that is because I sort of grew up in this that culture of like sports. Where what is celebrated are all your aggressive qualities of like, oh, you're a beast on the field, or look at Kenny running, he's a monster. And so eventually, like, all that stuff sort of got internalized where you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I'm a 6'3", 200-pound person who, like, in the dark could look very frightening and scary.
Sure.
And I don't
Jamie thought you were a 30-year-old exactly. man when you moved into freshman year of college.
Exactly. You were 17, to clarify. You were 17. Yeah.
But it's that was the thing where I was like, oh, I don't want people to ever feel uncomfortable around me because then I also have female friends where you hear stories of like, yeah, I just like kind of acted this way because I didn't want to anger this dude who could clearly like hurt me. Exactly. Yeah. So I never, being that dude who looks like they can overpower someone, never wanted to put anyone in that position. So that's why a lot of my personality winds up being like...
I feel like you're maybe compensating for...
overcompensating, to be like, hey, I'm not going to hurt anyone. I'm going to be very self-deprecating so you can tell, hey, you can make fun of me what you want or say anything. I'm not going to fly off in a rage.
Right.
I'm going to...
Nonviolent.
Yeah, and I'm going to like... even now I like wear sort of like tighter clothes and I drink... it started off, I mean, generally, I really enjoy, like, fruity cocktails and stuff.
Yeah.
But I sort of started ordering them more to be like, I'm drinking out of a pink chalice. Surely you couldn't be afraid of me.
Right.
Which goes back to, like, what is masculine and what is feminine? Exactly. Like, why do these things make you less masculine?
Yeah. And that's the thing is that was all, I never even thought about that as, I guess it was a way to sort of demasculate myself, but to do it in a way where I don't come off as the sort of like, oh, he might punch someone in the face.
Yeah.
Just full control.
Yeah.
Well, do you?
Can I ask like a kind of like flip-sided question with that? So in some ways you're talking about, and I feel like you mentioned like in relation to women that you're like, okay, like there are people who have been like, I've been in an uncomfortable situation with a guy who could clearly overpower me. So I was trying to avoid that. On like kind of the flip side, as somebody who possesses these like characters, like you're 6'3", you're like a big, like, you look like a dude. I don't know how else to say it. Do you ever feel like too, maybe you find like women attracted to you for reasons that you don't like want to be the reason women are attracted to you?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, because I think women particularly, and I want to throw out like dating app culture, heights listed on fucking everything.
Right.
I will say as someone who's been on the apps, I've like never dated someone who's really tall, but when I get on the apps, all of a sudden I'm like, I should date taller people. Like, why the fuck do I feel that way? I was like, I don't think I've dated anyone who's over 5'9".
But they made it a stat for you to pay attention to.
And now I'm like, oh, then I'm like, other people will care if my boyfriend's tall. And I'm like, what the fuck, Austin?
Yeah,
so do you feel that at all?
Honestly, not modern times. although I did have...
Modern times.
In your past life.
I would absolutely believe that Peter has lived several lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In this go-around, not so much. But no, it was... I had a girlfriend in high school who, after we broke up, was like, yeah, one of the reasons I mostly just dated you is because you're tall and played rugby. And I was like, okay, cool.
Ouch.
Cool.
It's like who I am is of no importance.
Yeah, exactly. But that also can be chalked up to, like, high school.
Sure.
We're all immature. Right.
For sure.
That's real.
I have one more question about how you were describing, like offsetting your physicality and, like, being gentle, like, in opposition to how you look. And, like, what I was thinking about is, like, I'm a person who's, like, fairly small, like, not physically imposing, like, I could not protect myself, like, against someone your size.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wonder sometimes if I were, like, a large man, if I would feel like I had... I hate to use this word, but if I feel like I had, like, the privilege to be gentler, like, sometimes I wonder if, like, because, like, I know that I can't physically protect myself,
you
if that
like
makes
you
me...
You have to, like be seem bigger.
Yeah.
Or just, like, a rougher exterior.
Like, be, like, a little, like, harder or, like not as friendly or just, like... Yeah, like these protective measures because, like, I can't actually protect myself.
Well, you and I joke about this about me even, that I'm, like, I'm 5'6" and a half. You're welcome for that extra half inch. Makes me taller than my sister. That's why I care about it. But you have always said to me, you've been like, well, you seem taller. And I'm like, yeah, because I try and walk and act like I'm taller than that. I'm, like, 5'6", but, like, a 5'9" personality
would
is what I'm
say
going
that?
For.
I don't know.
I've never thought about it from that angle that I guess I had this choice to not...
Or I guess maybe what I'm asking is, like, if you were smaller, like, if you were, like, 5'3", do you think that your personality would be affected by
that? I think if I was still a dude and 5'3", I would probably have more of, like, the Napoleon complex of, like, trying to compensate.
Just maybe more scrappy.
Yeah, exactly. I'd probably try to make up for it more in other ways. But I also probably wouldn't be as self-aware then. Because, like, if I was that sort of, like, that stature, when there are so many times where I'm, like, walking back to my apartment late at night, and if there's, like, a woman who's, like, in front of me, and I'm just walking behind her for too long, I'll just, like, turn the corner and stop so I don't
My brother does stuff like that.
Yeah. Whereas if I was, like, a smaller person, I wouldn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think about, like, oh,
how you look.
Yeah, how I look or how me being in your vicinity makes you feel sort of thing.
Wow.
I mean, I'll own that because I have been that person who I've been, like, this person's been behind me too long.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then there's also just, like, in general, I have this feeling of because I'm so, like, tall, and, like, sort of generally have mass. Mm-hmm. I, like, try not to take up as much space as possible. Like,
you do stand real crunched in.
Whenever I'm, like, if I'm on a bus or, like, even on the plane, I'll just be, like, sitting, like, elbows
Peter
in
has
the whole
his
time.
Shoulders clenched in and his knees together
just, like,
and his elbows together.
I don't want to take up people's space, but if I wasn't this big, I wouldn't even think about that. And so there's a chance where I'd be more sort of sprawling and trying to...
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never thought about, like, that, your size keeping you aware of other people.
I thought it was interesting how you mentioned wearing, like, more tapered clothes in a way to also, like, appear maybe smaller than you are. And I feel like...
That's a women thing, yeah.
Definitely. I also, like you see things go both ways where people try and wear bigger clothing to seem larger than they are, too.
Thug life in the early thousands.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, we've talked a lot about physical appearance, but, like, clothes is definitely how we, like, quote-unquote market ourselves or give our personality out to the world. And so, like, aside from, like, maybe more of the tapered clothes, I'd be interested to hear from both of you kind of how you feel like the way you dress or maybe the way your style has changed. Because you both, like, I think you both have had, like, style clothing evolutions in life. I feel like most of us do.
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone does.
Whether or not we were, like, paying attention to it, I think just because clothes change so frequently too.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
trends and styles.
You guys met me when I was in my pirate phase.
We did.
The first conversation I had with you, like, just us, you had a
eye patch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So definitely my style has evolved, thankfully.
Yeah.
Less bandanas. I still have some eye patches.
Hey, but eye patches are functional. Do you want to quickly just tell everyone that's listening how they're functional?
Oh, it was because when pirates would come up from below deck, they would shift their eye patch to the other side so that they wouldn't have to adjust.
Oh, wow.
Yep. When Peter was helping me move, he wore an eye patch for part of it.
For that reason.
Yes,
inside,
Peter!
Outside, inside, outside. Yeah.
It's useful. Depth perception was not great, but...
No. Anyway, really, so your style has evolved away from pirate. Go on ahead.
It's also, like, there's the wearing, like, terror clothes to sort of, like, appear less threatening sort of thing. But there's also, there was a point where I realized like, oh wait, I got a decent body. I can show it off a little bit. And so
you
I started,
had that female epiphany moment.
Exactly. And so I started, what also helped was because I was doing stand up at the time and I was like on stage every night in front of people.
You probably start to be more conscious of your appearance because you're like a performer.
Yeah. And I didn't want to just like be a slob on stage all the time. So I started
like so many stand ups.
like so many stand ups. If you're listening, check yourself.
Take it up a notch. I don't know.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's
and so I didn't want to just like go up there wearing all my baggy clothes or whatever. Yeah. Had. And so I was like, oh, I should like think about like how colors are working and like how layers and all the sort of stuff that is like base level style thing.
Yeah. Also probably like going through design school affected
that's
that.
True. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, and from, it's almost opposite with me growing up. And I think cause I wrap so much of my masculinity into my sexuality so that when I was in the closet and a teenager, I wore much baggier clothes because if I wore anything that showed that I like gave a shit, that was just like, for whatever reason, a target to claim that I was gay.
It felt,
yeah. Sure. And then, so then when I came out, I felt a lot more just freedom to wear things that I wanted to wear, whether or not they were tight or loose. And now just, I think that I don't think in terms of that anymore, especially with clothing. Like I think because we are in this time when there is not just femininity and masculinity, there's this weird like neutral ground that I think we're all
discovering and learning more about.
So like unisex clothing I'm like super into, and like because that's what all clothing really is.
True. And shout out Uniqlo.
I love
unisex.
I love it. Me too. And like I think that's, so I think I don't know, we're still so young that my how I feel about it will probably change as I get older, but like just not even just trying not to put anything into categories is like, this makes me this way or this makes me this way. I'm like, I just kind of like this right now. And this is who I happen to be.
Can I ask a question about like your dress and like your style, like when you came out? And I don't know if you feel like this is applicable to you, but I know Jamie and I have talked about this on other episodes where, perhaps like at any given time, like if you're finding out something about your identity or you're trying to find your community, you will like try on other things for size. Did you feel at all like when you came out, you quote unquote tried to like present gayer through your dress or like tried to avoid that or like went one way and then went another?
Not even just that, but like the minute I came out to myself, I noticed every gay person like, and just like everything came so clear to me that I absolutely did that. And I just wore things that like just weren't me at all, but I needed to try it because it felt like what the community needed me to do. And and I also like,
and some of that's visibility.
I was ready for people to know that I was gay. But at the same time, I started dating someone really quickly after I came out, and I don't really feel like I had like a gay moment for myself. I just kind of became him in a lot of ways.
Wow.
Like,
that's honest.
Like how he dressed and in the music he liked to listen to, and I actually, I mean, I need to give him a little bit of credit because he like in a lot of ways was not traditionally masculine, but like was also very masculine. And once we broke up, like I felt like that's really when I came out, because I was like, oh, like I don't really like a lot of the things that he likes, and that doesn't make me less gay or less
you
male.
Had to be, like, gay on your own.
Yeah, I had to figure it out on my own finally. And
I think I feel that way about like almost early like relationships. Like I mean, I think about my high school boyfriend and like the expectations like I think I felt like boys wanted from me in high school, and then when I got away from that to be like, oh, like how do I want to be a woman, not like what's sexy to me, not what other people think is sexy.
How do I turn myself on?
That's right.
As listen, Pink said, it's just you and your hand tonight.
I mean, listen, there are diagrams of the clitoris, Google it.
We'll say it maybe every episode now.
Sorry, sidebar. Have you guys watched Pen 15 yet?
Yes!
Oh, but everybody's
the Ouija
raving.
Board.
Clit. I don't know a clit.
So yeah, I guess here we are, like two women, two men at a table. And I think we wanted to kind of get just like a perspective from both of you on how gender roles affect your friendships. I don't know if you felt like at certain times, like, your friendship circle was more men or was more women, or just how you interacted with different groups of friends more. I think I'm somebody right now who's kind of experiencing a revolution in terms of somebody who's been friends predominantly with guys. And I feel like I'm finally kind of finding my like female tribe.
Yeah,
which
you
is
are.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Michael, how do you kind of feel like gender fits into your friendships?
Sure. I've always felt way more comfortable around women than men. I think because I've never been like a, I don't know. I've never identified as like a really macho man. And when you're 13, 14, you're either like a sportsy dude.
I was going to say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, and you, but you were like not someone who was into sports.
Yeah. And like that means a lot when you're a teenager. Mm-hmm.
But girls don't care you care about that.
Well, and this is not like men versus women. What I'm saying, there's a lot more room for girls to engage in a lot of different things.
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is like as friends, girls aren't going to like give you shit ever.
Right.
For like not right,
exactly.
Not liking sports. Or,
well, yeah. And like, and you saying like being closer with guys most of your life.
Yeah.
Like because part of that is because like, I think a lot of guys would say like, you're a girl.
Your guy's hang. Girl.
Yeah, a guy's yeah. girl. And like,
and that's complicated too.
It's complicated.
It is complicated. Yeah. That's not, like
that, I'm
like,
trying to not be like a down cool chick all the time because totally. I think it doesn't let me be myself.
That is like, that
and
is
also
a,
rape
that is the
culture.
Dude's yeah, fault. Like, I don't know how to say that. Like I can't be like, I love watching Oscars and I love clothes. Like, without being like, you're gay, dude. It's like,
yeah.
Yes, I am, but like, it's not because of that. Like, no. I can still. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And a lot of women in my life have just been more understanding of that.
Yeah.
So I've always just felt more comfortable around women. And to the point where even through like adulthood, anytime, like a lot of personalities that make me come into like a room full of men still make me really uncomfortable. Like when I'm at the gym or like I have like a free 1 hour training session, they always assign me with a guy and his personality happens to just be not much like mine at all because... Mm. It's very like macho and like in your face and very like positive, optimistic in a way that
what's
it's like
gym
very,
culture it's plus masculinity. Gym culture. Mm. Yeah.
And it just makes me really uncomfortable. And I don't like that about myself. Like I want to feel much more comfortable around straight men specifically because it just makes life a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. I mean like.
Well, on the flip of what you said, like as far as like maybe sexuality mm-hmm. affecting how you feel about spending time with your same gender. Mm-hmm. Like I've definitely felt like throughout my whole life, like I have a lot of good, like close female friends, but if I'm like thrown into a group of women, like I often like feel like a little out of sorts or like I don't like jive with them right. necessarily as well as if it was like a mixed group. And I actually do pretty well in a group of men if mm-hmm. I'm able to hold my own, mm-hmm. but like some of it, and I don't like, I also don't want to put words in your mouth, but like what I've experienced is maybe like feeling pushed out of groups of women where like femininity has like a really structured idea, like at baby showers or like same. Weddings and stuff. Mm. I don't feel super
even
comfortable.
Just like group hangouts. I'm often not invited to because most of my friends are female and
so then it's like, well, it's a girls night.
Exactly. Aww. Or a guys night. I just don't, but I don't have a lot of guy friends.
Yeah.
So it's like, they literally just aren't thinking to include me because it's a girls' night, and it's taken me a long time to not take that personally.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I'm still learning how to like accept that. But I think that this might be a really stupid thing to say, but
no.
That's where I think that like being a feminist kind of frees everybody of their gender roles because it like gives you back your individuality.
And, you're
like,
right.
Like, what is a girls' night like? Can't I hang? Like, can't I come to that? Like,
yeah.
What? Like, why can't I experience that? Or like, and for men as well. Like,
yeah. I don't know. How do you feel in groups of men, Peter?
And women.
Yeah, I've mostly. I mean, throughout high school, it was mostly like groups of dudes and stuff.
We went to
like,
all boys high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and middle school.
No, in middle school it was both, but like. Still, it was like you're a kid, and like most of my friends just wound up I hung out with wound up being dudes.
And your hobbies, you played sports,
yeah,
and
exactly.
You were a Boy Scout,
and I was a Boy Scout, so I was involved in all these like very masculine things.
Yeah.
But also, I wasn't. I always had to do this. It's not quite code switching, but in a way of like over masculating stuff because I'd play sport and did scouts and all that stuff, but I was also like a big old nerd, And so I was play like video games and watch like cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I was involved with like groups of dudes, I had to be like, I had to put on my like sports brain or like do that sort of thing to be able to
quote-unquote hang.
Yeah, so like, exactly, to not be like, hey guys, you see the new Dragon Ball Z?
Right.
There's stuff right. like that. And then that sort of also came around when I started to hang out with more women too, where I felt like, oh, I could be more comfortable here and not have to sort of know necessarily. Like when we'd watch college football sometimes back in Chicago with a couple friends of mine, and there was this very clear split of like, the dudes on the couch watching the game, and then like the girls over in like
having a side conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was like right in the middle where I was like having mimosas with the gals and involved in their conversation because it was more interesting to me. But then like back into the game every now and then just so I could be like, hey, how's Baker doing now?
Stuff
like that. So I've always been in this like weird, just sort of middle area where. Yeah. You sort of feel like you're not really connected to either, but you're not really excluded from either.
Well, I think that's more, I think it's way more natural. And I think that it's kind of like how I feel about people who, like, I don't know, like mommy bloggers or like people whose relationships they like monetize.
Yeah.
Like they become like this gay couple on Instagram.
Sure.
It's like, why? Like we, there's a lot of joy in our lives. Like why just make this one thing who you are and what you're known for and all these things? Like, why compartmentalize who you are?
Exactly.
So I think most people probably exist in the middle.
Yeah.
It's just harder to
and like nowadays I find myself sort of like catching myself doing that sort of thing where I'll be hanging with a group of friends and I'll start talking about comic books or something and realize like, oh, this isn't the spot for this. And then catch myself being like, yeah, but I don't care. I'm going to continue talking about this.
Yeah. As someone who doesn't know a lot about comic books, like if you talk about that to me, like I absolutely will listen and talk to you about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what other people are interested in.
I just like find myself being like, you don't have to stop talking about this.
No.
It's sort of germane to the conversation.
If I'm not hurting anybody.
Yeah. As long as I'm not like just steamrolling a conversation to talk about it.
Right.
Which we've all done.
Yeah.
We've all done that.
Yeah. We've all steamrolled.
Oh, 100%. We are all geniuses.
Jamie and I are so into steamrolling conversations. We started a podcast.
Yeah. That's what we do.
So I feel like it's interesting to hear kind of where you sit and as we like in friendships, and I want to kind of pivot to romantic relationships, but in this lane, bring up something kind of your male perspective because I feel like it's something I feel in my life a lot, like in the last few years. So I'm super single, right? And I have owned that like most of my friends for like a chunk of time have been guys, predominantly straight men. And in that lane, as like people are like doing the relationship thing and engaged and married, I do feel like I've like sidelined because as a straight woman, if I have a guy who's a straight guy who's like my best dude and I've had several of those, the things we used to do together when they start dating someone are no longer things we can do together. So in kind of how you as men, I guess, relate to other people. And Michael, you might have an interesting perspective on this because I don't have any sense of what, do you even feel like also like an outliner, like of like, oh, well, like I can't hang out with a gay single guy or like, is that applicable? Do you feel like your relationships in friendship change when you start dating or someone you're friends with starts dating?
Definitely with my friendships, just because I think that's natural.
Yeah.
Whether or not I'm dating someone or they're dating someone, like relationships change when new relationships blossom.
True.
And like the younger we are, the harder it is to like just accept that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's hard to not feel like totally replaced.
Or be like, I wish it was the way it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When like nothing is the way it used to be. Like everything is evolutionary. But in regards to other gay people, not so much, honestly. I think because among gay people, I think we, for the most part, really have each other's backs. And so, like,
I agree.
You know, and so, like, whenever I'm thinking mostly of my friend Corey, who's just, like, really a lifesaver in a lot of ways. Like, was one of the
And you've been friends
like
with him, since you came out.
For, like, a decade, yeah.
Yeah.
If I've ever been dating someone, he's always been like really supportive and like wants to know about it and be like appropriately
like involved. Invested in, yeah,
and vice versa. I think that that is something that I really cherish. I don't have a lot of gay friends, to be perfectly honest, and the ones I do have are really, really important to me. But from like the perspective of when I, having been single, when other people are dating, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be. This is my experience, and I'm like, is this applicable the other way around?
Say it again, though.
Well, as a girl who's hung with a lot of straight guys,
right?
I used to be able to do things with them. They start dating a girl, and like, they can't talk to me the same way. They can't get drunk and sleep on my couch anymore. Like,
you can't go to a movie just the two of you. Yeah.
But more with my straight female friends than any of the straight.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because I feel like heteronormativity, if you will, would like weirdly apply to you in that way, where like straight men who have wives who are friends with you might sometimes be like, well, I don't want you hanging out with this other guy.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% like a threatened mentality.
I don't want to even. I want to not use names here, but there was an experience I had with a really good female friend of mine who had just started dating someone, and I'm not like trying to pat myself on the back, really championed that relationship because I like saw how much they were into each other in that, and I thought they'd be good together, and they have been, and they still are very good together. And there happened to be an experience where he really overreacted to a really like innocuous thing that happened. My friend went to the bathroom and there was a massive line for the bathroom at this party, and so I really had to pee, so I was just like, can I just go in with you? And like, I'm not like one of those gays who like likes to share bathrooms.
One of those gays.
Like, you know, like that's something else that like girls go to the bathroom together. So you're gay. You should feel comfortable with that. Like,
women go to the bathroom together because we feel unsafe.
But, yeah, safe. No, that's a safety thing.
Okay, but girls have asked me to do that.
Yeah,
go to the bathroom with me.
Not like not out of safety. Like,
Being like, come
with me. It's fun. I'm like, I really don't want to pee. Like,
this feels weird. Just a human level.
Yeah. And so I was like, I'm just gonna look at the wall. Like, I don't want to watch you pee. And so I did that. And then we switched and she did the same thing. And then we come out of the bathroom and he was like storming out of the party.
Oh,
was
wow.
Like, and she was like, you're being ridiculous. Like, I've known Michael for a long time. He is super gay. Like, nothing sexual about him. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's usually the straight guy in the relationship.
It's him viewing you as competition no reason.
Well, and I guess the other thing, and I wondered if this was a flip side you experienced too, is like, do you ever find then maybe if you can sit comfortably where like a guy's not intimidated because he's like, oh, Michael's gay. Do you ever feel like girls like...
Or like knows you and trusts you as a person generally.
Right, and they should. By like maybe uses you as a band-aid of like, oh, I can't hang out with the other guys, but I can hang out with Michael because he's not sexually interested in me. So I have this boyfriend, but I can hang out with my gay friend.
Yes. That has, I think, changed a lot because we were feeling more open to, like, expressing, like, that's super not cool. Like,
it's super not cool.
Yeah, for a long time, it's like, I need acceptance. So, like, however you want to do it.
Yeah, it's like, straight please. Girl, put me in your pocket.
Yes. And I remember one time in choir, in college, I was standing next to another gay man. And he was talking, and this girl in front of us, who, like, neither of us knew very well at all. She was in, like, a different choir. She just was, like, clearly very smitten with, like, the gaze behind her. And she, like, said to him, like, can you be my gay best friend?
Oh,
and he was, like, sure. Like, didn't want to go into it. And she, like, turned around and he's like, rolled his eyes at me. And I was like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's just stupid. And so, yes. Mm-hmm. But way less now because it's, like, I just feel more comfortable being, like...
And I feel like also, like, straight women kind of finally know a little bit
that's... Yeah, that's been sort of blown up.
It's kind of uncool.
Yeah, and
it's
not very to give, uncool. Like, gay people, like, a free pass. Like, we've fucked up a lot with, like...
We're also people.
Yeah, there was a long time when, like, white gay men especially kept calling themselves, like, big black women.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and, like...
What are you doing?
The black community was, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think it's okay just because you're also a minority? And not to like, I'm just, I don't know.
And then there was generally that like portrayal in media too for so long of the stereotypical like gay best friend that sort of ingrained in people like, oh, as this straight woman, I should have a gay best friend. Right. And so I'm not looking at you as a person, as a friend. I'm looking like specifically, I need...
You're the token gay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pete, what about you? How do you feel like gender has played into your friendships at all? Has it?
I honestly, I don't really think about it that much.
That's fair.
For friendships. And then relationships-wise, like, I'm also super single. Mm-hmm. More so... from just like, I've been just like focusing on career stuff for years and then just never really gave relationships a thought. So that whole, like that dynamic is never, I'm sure I've been picked up on a lot of hints or something where I just, there's just like, yeah, no, we're just like friends and stuff. And they're like, nah. I have been on more than one like, date that I didn't realize was a date until afterwards. It's like, oh crap.
I've gone on dates that I didn't know were dates. One time a guy asked me out and one of my best guy friends was like, oh, so you're going on a date, and I got so mad at him I cried because I was like, it's not a date. And then I came home and I was like, yeah, that was definitely a date. And then I dated that guy for 2.5 years. So oops.
So yeah, I just have never given it that much thought.
Okay.
I also think like in the sort of era of like, oh, friend zone is such a big thing or that, I...
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. But like, of dudes like screaming that. Right. Being like, I've been more conscious of like not ascribing things to relationships.
Yeah. Like letting it...
Yeah, just letting it be.
Blossom like an anus.
Yeah, blossom like an anus. Love that throw pillow that my grandma had growing up that just had stitched blossom like an anus.
No, I want to make it.
We're going to have a merch store and that's the first item.
It is.
What?
Well, there's that song Bloom by Troye Sivan.
Yes, exactly.
I love that song.
I love that song. Also,
that is about an anus.
Yeah, it's about and bottoming.
So, I don't know, Pete, you've kind of like, you've been like, all right, I'm not like trying to date super hard, but how do you feel like, or if at all, or if this has been your experience, that like gender roles play into like your romantic relationships in terms of like, expectations, or like, are you supposed to be some kind of way with girls, be it like chivalrous or like the one like
leading,
planning, leading,
yeah, whatever? I don't know, I feel like chivalry is just a term for being polite, right. Sort of. It's just a weird gender term for like, oh, this is a reason men have to act nice is because they're being chivalrous, not because it's just what you should do as a human.
Totally agree.
And so it's, again, it's just something that I was just raised to be sort of like polite and nice. So it's like, you open the door for people. Yeah.
Do you hold the door for men ever?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
What happens? Because men get really uncomfortable when I hold the door.
They'll either say thanks or nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll either just walk by or they're like, hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like there is something there though. It's funny because I feel like as a woman, like sometimes when you do things like that, like you just said,
it's uncomfortable.
People take it the wrong way. Or I will have had moments where like, a guy has walked through a door and I think if like another guy was behind them, this would have never happened. But then I've gotten the door for myself and people have been like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even see you. And I was like, it's really fine. Like I can open doors.
I can. Yeah.
But I'm like, he wouldn't have done that if I was a guy.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've recently had a man see me open the door for me, but a man walked in front of me first and went through the door that the other man was holding open, and the man who was holding the door just like looked at me and shrugged and then held it longer for me.
Oh, yeah.
But he obviously felt weird about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were asking Pete about dating. So like if you have a first date, do you always
feel things tied up and pay or anything like that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I always try to pay. Just
do you always assume you're gonna pay?
No.
Okay.
Because I mean, there's always mostly the conversation goes like, so do you want to split this? I'm like, no, I'll just get it.
Okay.
Mostly because it's just like easier to. I have a lot of friends in service industry, so it's just like just do one check. It's easier.
Yeah. Fair.
And because like I don't know, it's just dinner. It's fine. I'm not too worried about like being owed anything. Like I just went on like. Last Sunday or something went on a date where that happened and I was like, yeah, no, it's just like what you do. It's like taking picking up the bill when you take a friend out for dinner or something.
I agree. I feel like for me, rule of thumb is like if I asked you out, I'm gonna pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, can I say something then?
Michael, chime in.
Well, I'm curious about this because I have a friend who was dating a guy for a while, a female friend who dated a guy for a while, and from the very beginning, he never paid. He very intentionally made them split bills, and she was like, "Can I say anything?" Like,
yeah.
She's like, "I'm a modern woman. Like, I'm okay with it. It's just weird. Like, because we're like,
well,
really
you'd
going
think
all
one
out.
Of them would do it one time, and yeah, then like they somebody
switch
up.
It off or
she
something.
Said like, I'm not saying, and then they finally had it out about it. She's like, I'm not saying pay every time, but I'm just saying like,
can we get one check sometimes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I am curious about. Because being in a same-sex relationship, like, it's weird anyway, like, those sorts of...
Yeah, how does that work for you? Have you ever felt pressure of, like, I should pay, he should pay, we take turns, who pays?
We do take turns still, and we always have taken turns. And I, same rule of thumb, like, my husband, when he asked me out first, and so he paid.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a long day, so he paid for dinner, then I just happened to pay for the movies, and then he paid for the drinks. Like,
it's like, throughout the night, it's pretty split.
Yeah.
But even down to, like, not even just dates, or, like setting up home.
Yeah.
I recently went through a lot of job changes, and about a year ago, like, what felt like a very risky change where I was going to be working part-time and freelancing part-time. And I was met with a lot of... And my female friends actually, like, brought this to my attention, was that a lot of people in my family, like, not for any negative reasons, but we're just wondering, like, can you do that? Like, are you providing for your family, basically?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that
like
I was getting...
breadwinner feelings.
Yes, I was getting a lot of questions about, like, is this...
fair,
selfish,
equitable.
And I was like, "Shit, is it? Like, I don't know. Like, should
if
I be finding my joy?"
If you were a woman, though, people wouldn't be saying
exactly.
the same
and
things
you
to you.
Told me that, like, you said, like, that's when you,
like,
your
if you're
gender
a woman,
is, like, not working in your favor.
Josh
right now,
is your husband. People would be like, "You stay home, do what you need to do." Yeah.
Do you know what though? I want to throw this out, like, double side of that coin, because I do have really close friends who are women who have pursued less. Quote-unquote, like, stable and or lucrative professions. Like, people have started their own businesses.
Yeah.
Like, whether their husband was working, or their fiance, or their boyfriend, or whoever.
Like, not a sure thing.
Was working somewhere corporate, and, like, was the guy who did health insurance. And I think sometimes, like, because I think there are a lot of expectations on women in certain ways of, like, do it all. That I've also watched... I don't think men shame women in this, and I don't think people's families look at women as much with the expectation of, like, oh, is it weird that your husband's making all the money? But I think that sometimes other women look at other women
most
and
definitely.
Go, well, that must be nice for you, because I'm out here busting my ass as a single
I'm
girl.
I'm working, too.
No, like, nothing is fair or easy for women.
That's not the point of this conversation.
Why can't just be, like, neutral?
Right.
Like, why should a woman have to take a man's last name? Why can't a man take a woman's last name? Why can't people just keep their names?
Yeah.
But I also think the expectation that, like, men are the breadwinner, that men are supposed to pay for, like, the dates or whatever. And I'll be honest, like, if I go out on a date and I don't want to see the guy again, I'm very adamant about splitting, because I don't want him to 100%. Think I owe him something.
Yes.
That's
I'm very
a really good point.
Like, oh, no. Like, let's split the bill. Because if I'm not going to go out with you again, if I don't want you to try and put your hands on me, like, that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, that's also that weird thing of, like, oh, it's a weird transactional idea.
Yeah.
Of, like, oh, I paid for this, so I have some claim to something.
Right. I bought my way into your pants.
Yeah, which is weird and dumb. It shouldn't exist.
It isn't chivalrous.
Yeah, it's not chivalrous at all. It's the opposite. But it's that. I mean, that's what happened on that date, which I could very clear is, like, oh, she's asking to split the bill because she doesn't it was also like, I'm also on the same page, but you know what? It'll be quick for us to both get out of this. It'll be quicker if I just pay.
Yeah.
Fair. I would bring cash on dates a lot for that reason. I could just, like, throw it down and split.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an easy thing. God bless Venmo for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, like, I'll also throw out, I've been in situations. There is a guy, like, probably this time last year that I went out on, like, three dates with, I think, and the third time I paid, and I think it really offended him, and we never went out again.
Oh.
Like, would it rub you the wrong way, Pete, if, like, a girl was like, yeah,
no.
I don't know.
I feel like at that point, like, yeah, switching off is fine. When it's just like, I don't know, I do think there's probably still some ingrained thing in me of like first date, dude sure. pays
yeah.
for stuff.
Yeah.
But
there are some.
I also think there's a lot of like, there's a lot of sort of class ideas of like, because the penny pinchers are always the people that grew up with sort of wealth. And
I think that's yeah. a fair broad brush statement.
So
sure.
when people are like super like anal about,
you owe me $27.97.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's the people who like grew up sort of like lower class, middle class, who are like, yeah, you'll pay me back at some right. point.
I assume I'll see you again.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a coffee, hospitality whatever. Thing almost. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like that's how I feel about it on
exactly,
dates.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's hospitality and like ease of the interaction. It's not like making sure that it's fair. It's like, I am comfortable paying for you right now. Mm-hmm. And like, I know that we'll probably go out again and you'll pay for me in the future. Right. And we don't need to make a thing yeah. about it.
We don't need to keep a spreadsheet of like yeah. who's in the red,
yeah,
who's
let's
in
not
the
play
green.
Games.
Yeah. yeah. And then there's also just the idea of like, I've been on a few dates where I was like, look, this hasn't been great. I'll just pay for it.
Yeah. No, I've like, done that for sure.
To make
sure.
up for the fact that I haven't really been present here. And you could probably tell I'm not super into this.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really bad at like recognizing when someone else is not into me.
Oh.
I mean, no. I mean, like, I'm very, very happy and yeah. married. I'm not out there wondering why people aren't into me.
But yeah, there's sometimes that's a reason too where I'm like, look, I'm not going to make it. You came all the way out here. I'm not going to make you right. split this
yeah.
bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I guess that's something else in just like kind of relationships outside of like monetary things that I would think mm-hmm. is interesting. We talk about like, okay, not split the bill. And there is this expectation that it seems like normal for guys to pay, particularly early on. But like, what else does it feel normal for guys to do first? And I think about this like in like hetero relationships. Oftentimes, like, women are, like, waiting for the guy, or it's, like, the guy's decision of, like, are we a couple? Do you love me? Like, any of those things.
Mm-hmm. Even, like, first kiss, like,
yeah, like
everything.
It's, like, you kind of, like, I feel like the norm, or, like, who calls after the date? Who asks right. you on the date? Who plans the date?
Yeah.
But I feel like, Michael, you might have a really different, interesting take on this, because, like...
I'm with a man.
Right. Yeah. And so, what's the expectation? You're married. At some point, there was, like, an engagement.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
how
so
do things swing with that?
Well, I think with specifically with like wanting to get married, we had a conversation about Joshua was always going to be the person to propose, only because like oh. I always wanted to be proposed okay. to.
I knew this yeah. about you. Yeah. I like knew that as a longtime friend, yeah. I knew that that was like an experience that was important to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, mostly because like I like mostly don't believe people are. I wasn't going to believe it if he didn't want mm-hmm. to do it. You know. Because I knew I wanted to marry him, but, like, I don't assume that people want to be with me in the yeah. same way. But I'm trying to think of, just in our lives, it's different because I think it's come down to our personalities and not our genders. Like, mm-hmm. I love driving, so I just happen to be the one that drives us everywhere. Whereas, like, in a lot of heterosexual relationships,
the man drives. Yeah.
To the point where even growing up, if like we were on a road trip and I fell asleep and I woke up and my mom was suddenly driving, it just was like something's wrong with like the equilibrium. Like, why is my mom driving? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like it's ingrained in us
like,
that like
oh, no,
the men do this.
Yeah,
yeah. Even like yard work or just like nonsense.
Who takes
like
out
that.
The trash?
Yeah.
Like just
yeah.
weird.
It's
who
like,
cooks dinner?
Yeah.
Mom.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Or like, and I had neighbors whose dad. Cooked.
Yeah.
And we all whispered about it.
Yeah.
Like,
aww.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
we're like, what's his name? He cooks.
The
like, what does she
cooks.
Do? It's like,
what does she do?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what? How ridiculous.
It's weirdly shaming. What does
she
do?
Does. Right. She's not
awful.
Cooking, so, like, I guess, what's she cooking?
Nothing.
Yeah.
She just procreates.
I guess that's
and
actually.
Cleans, you know.
Cleans.
But she's missing one of the C's in that cook and clean and conceive, and if you know
yeah.
what I'm saying.
But she was also kind of, she was less feminine.
Okay.
And
yeah.
so, like, that was also like, well, then she's definitely a lesbian. You know what I mean? Like, this is suburbia.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I guess I sort of, like, missed a lot of those sort of conventional home gender roles because my parents were divorced. And
oh,
so like,
you get two single parent households.
Yeah, well, my mom got remarried and she still a lot of like the domestic stuff like that. But then she also like handled all the most of the money and she was the one who had the insurance that my stepdad was on, and so she had that sort of side of things. And then I was mostly like raised by my dad, so he was the one who would like cook and clean and garden and do all the do just like everything. It was just him in the household.
Right.
Do you feel like having that experience like maybe gave you a different perspective of like men and women in a relationship versus maybe people who watch something that seems like more quote unquote stereotypical?
Oh yeah, 100%. Just because like that's what my view of sort of, I mean, for bad and good, my view of relationships are.
And your example of masculinity, if you will, was something that was like a softer, like more rounded out version.
100%. Because like my dad, he was a scout leader. That's how I got in like scouts. So we'd be camping all the time, and he was someone who could like catch a fish and then like cook it up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was also the one who was like, "It's your birthday. I made brownies."
Yeah.
He still does that.
Aww,
every year my birthday, he mails me brownies in whatever state I am.
That's actually the cutest.
That's really sweet.
And so yeah, it was, there wasn't like a clear like, well, this is how men act and this is how ladies act and this is what they do. It's just like, well, when you're living alone, you just do everything.
Right. And I think it's true, especially with like our parents' age anyway, because I think in like just generally masculinity, I think is part of, in part because we celebrate youth too much. And then like the older I see my dad get, the more he softens.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy for him.
I agree
with that.
Yeah.
Like he was so emotional at my wedding, and he was so emotional at my sister's wedding. And like 10 years ago, I don't know if I would have said that about him, but I think it's because like the older we get, the more comfortable we are with like with disregarding the things that we thought we knew, and just become more of who we actually are. So like seeing your dad do that probably started you early with like things that like unfortunately our parents' age don't get to learn until they've experienced their whole lives.
Yeah, or until they've sort of like gotten away. They've gotten old enough to be away from like how they were raised and sort of like, oh yeah, that's the stuff that happened to me as a kid, like it's not affecting me as much because I'm like 50 years old.
Right. And like, and just like traditional, I don't mean to say that, but like marriage between men and women.
There you go.
Like
colonial American marriage.
Yes. I had my coworker's daughter was getting married and my coworker was really worried about her fiance because she saw a lot of similarities with her husband in this man, this guy. And she said like, just make sure you know specifically how in debt he is. She was like, I do mom. And apparently he was in like an unbelievable amount of debt that he just like kept to himself because it's not masculine to burden the woman with the truth.
Wait, that's so real.
Like you're about to share your life with this person.
Can't
like,
burden you with the truth.
Can't be having those fucking secrets.
Not even to come off as like, you're supposed to be the breadwinner or to come off as like, oh, I have these problems.
Insecure.
Like,
inside.
I don't have the finances all figured out.
Yeah, right. And like, but I have to figure this out.
Alone. On my own.
Exactly.
And I can't share
It's always having the world on your shoulders. Like, you can't ask for help.
Yeah.
And I think that like overarching, like definitely in money, but across the board, there are a lot of ways that it's like, guys are not given permission to ask for help. And I feel like you, Michael definitely alluded to this when you, I mean, you talk about like in a very like hard sense, like
suicide.
Mm-hmm.
There are also men who have killed their whole families and themselves for this reason. Cause they were so in debt and couldn't tell anyone.
And I think like more and more people are like, we're at peace with like normalizing, like,
mental
illness and like that being a priority.
And, I have two
and Terry Crews out here.
Terry Crews is an American hero.
I love him. He like he normalizes so many things. Like, why shouldn't I carry a purse?
Yes.
Like, it's not emasculating. It's fucking convenient.
It's a bag.
Like, I have shit
of your stuff.
Yeah.
And he I forget what talk show he was on, but they were like trying to like
fuck like, with him.
And he was like, yeah, I carry a bag with me.
Yeah, he does. Like,
where's the joke?
Right.
But talking about like mental health, there are two stories. One is kind of a bummer and the other one's not.
Okay.
Let's start with the bummer. Let's go uplifting.
This is a story that someone else told me.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Her husband had like ran into someone who like belonged to the same country club that they used to.
Okay. Okay.
And they and the other man just assumed that they were no longer members because of the quote unquote the thing that happened.
Oh.
And
oh,
he was like, "So what happened? Like, I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah.
And I guess this this couple, this man and woman, were had been taking spin classes together. Okay. And the man had a history of mental health issues.
Mm. Okay.
And he had convinced himself that his wife and the spin instructor were having an affair.
Oh, okay. No.
And she said...
And it wasn't true. But and it was, wasn't true. He was having, like, paranoia.
Yes, yes. Like, and, yeah. And had a history of this. So yeah. She saw the signs and was trying to be... She was like, I know what you're thinking, and it isn't true. And here's, like, my phone. Here's all this. Let's go to therapy now. Like, mm-hmm. let's go talk mm-hmm. to your therapist mm-hmm. now. And he was like, nope. I know I'm right. Aww. You're definitely doing this. And she was like, how do I convince you I'm not? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
She contacted a therapist on her own and said, my husband's having these paranoid
delusions.
Yeah. And I don't know how to convince him otherwise. Like, I really want to come see you, but he's really hesitant. And one night he hadn't come home from work. It was really late
mm-hmm.
and she was really worried and he never came home that night.
Yeah.
And the next morning they opened up the gym and he was in there and he had put a bag over his head, his own head spun until he passed out.
What?
Oh,
killed himself and left a note saying,
that's incredibly dramatic. Saying, also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
To spin to death with a bag on your head.
And he, but he wow. left a note
that's
saying,
that's like seven saying, or some exactly. shit.
Like, yeah. I know I'm right. You're having an affair. That was his note.
Yeah.
Which was like,
what do you do with that if you're her for the rest of your life?
That really, really, you, I mean, really you have frustrated
to at
me.
At some point, like, come to peace with knowing that this person was really sick. But I think
really sick. Yeah.
It's really, really hard when
my God
that happens to
yeah.
not feel like
some sort
guilt
of
guilt yeah, for response. Reasons oh, yeah. that are outside of
totally.
Your control.
Especially because
oh, I think I would be mad at him if I were his, I if pretty, I were his wife. It would be so hard for me because I would be like grieving that, but I would be like so
angry.
Mad. At
I think
him.
I would get to anger, which is really
yeah.
frustrating.
Yeah.
And then that like I don't think closure exists generally.
I agree. I don't know, yeah.
but like. That you like literally don't get the like that your truth
he
simply
died
doesn't matter.
Believing that yeah. you, yeah. you
not just believing,
that
but believing
instructor.
That he was right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, okay. So that was awful.
Then
but,
the good one.
Yeah.
And I guess like to that point, and which is where I was coming from, of like, I don't think men oftentimes want to go to therapy.
He didn't want to go.
And mm-hmm. I think that it's I think like more
because like, it's like been portrayed as like a sort of weakness. Thing.
Yes.
And it
you're
seems
never
like
supposed
help.
To show that.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, I don't, I think we're just getting to a point where it's like, okay for any to be like, I'm in fucking therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's probably easier for women to like,
most
feel
definitely.
Like they have permission to do that. Than
yeah.
men.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of a burden for women too, to like be the spokespeople for therapy.
Yeah,
it's like, you have to be this vulnerable all the time out loud to let me feel like I can finally do this.
And it's like a lot of emotional baggage to put on them to see yeah. like you were in that story to see like the warning signs
right,
in
right.
you and to be responsible for like trying to
oh,
fix
do
yeah.
the right thing
in
right.
that way.
Oh, and I do think that historically like women have felt like responsible for their husbands' emotions.
Mm-hmm. I think so for sure.
Yeah.
Ooh.
yeah.
but and on the other side, like where I started to see my dad's like change was when I went to OU for like, I don't know, orientation weekend?
Before
I went to OU
college.
For like a second. Yeah, the
yeah.
summer before
school. It's orientation.
Yeah.
So you started college, you started at OU, you went
yes.
to orientation.
It was like July or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with my parents and my dad, and both my dad specifically had the very like lovely college experience where he loved it and he
mm-hmm.
wanted the same for his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really,
when you
me
have
too.
Something, even yeah. if, you want your kids to have the same great thing. And sometimes I think it's hard to realize like your kids, like the thing for them that's great is not the same that
well,
it was for you.
Yeah.
yeah
and it
your
might
dad
be.
Was a sports guy who like
yeah.
worked as a bartender and it's just like a different life than
absolutely,
you have.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, I could feel him really wanting me to like have this moment there
yeah.
and like really feel like at home. And like, he had no idea what I was going through. Like, that I was in the closet.
This is
but
right before you came
yeah.
out too.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like 6 months later I was coming out and, the whole time I could just feel my anxiety getting worse and worse and worse mm. and like being like, this is not my place. These are not my people. I'm feeling really horrible. What do? I've made a mistake. And, and I was in some like, they had separated the parents and the students.
The
mm-hmm. And my mom had texted me and said like, we're about to head back to the inn if you just want us to wait. And I was like, please, yes, please wait. Like, we're almost done. And she could see that I was just like, I was about to have like a really
you're
big panic attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was like, are you okay? Do you need to go outside? And I was like, yes. Aww. And my dad was like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And so we got outside and I immediately started having a panic attack. And my dad kept saying, like, what is going on? And my mom's like, he's having a panic attack. Just give him a second. Mm. And that was like, my dad, for better or worse, like had a hard time not believing, but like understanding.
Just understanding
that.
What yeah. that is.
And I was really embarrassed. And then weekend passed. I survived it. We came back home and it was like, I was about to leave the house one day and my dad just like stopped me in the middle of the hall. I was like, can I talk to you for a second? I was like,
Always scary words from a parent. Yeah.
And he was like, so whatever, like what happened in Athens, I don't like fully understand it, but you were clearly in a lot of pain and I'm really sorry. Aww. And I was like, it was like the most important thing he could have said to me because yeah. he was willing to say, like, I don't get it yet, but like, I get that it really hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was like the beginning of his like becoming a butterfly.
And just like offering like support instead of like seeking an answer from you yeah. is a really different approach.
Totally.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. That was a much better story.
Yeah. We all love Preston.
We do. And his legs, his feminine legs.
Yeah. Michael's dad has the greatest set of legs.
Yeah, my dad has lovely legs. And so does my mom. Both my parents have really nice legs.
Thank you. Your parents have great legs.
Oh, that's funny. So to wrap up this conversation about masculinity, I did want to touch on just like a brief bit of research I did because I can't not...
it's not in your body. It's not in your soul.
No.
Manic research.
So we've obviously, like, you guys have been here to provide a male perspective, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Seriously.
We are also not the arbiters of this information. Like, if anyone had different experiences, awesome.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah. Everyone has.
Yeah, this is a... Every like interview that we would or will do is like, it's like a case study.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's what is your experience? Mm-hmm. And that's all we can speak on. But in prep for this episode, I was like reading a little bit about just like masculine culture, like ideas about like where certain like quote, like masculine traits came from. And most of it is supposedly tied to like the male form, and that like to be quote masculine and to have like traits of like largeness and strength mm-hmm. and like a swagger in your walk or like a hips or shoulders forward kind of walk that's like assertive and mm-hmm. dominant. A lot of the articles I read continued to tie it back to, no surprise, the penis. So yeah,
I mean,
most research says that masculinity and what's considered like male traits is born of like how men like physically articulate their body around their genitals.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So my question mm-hmm. is,
cue the vibraphone.
So my question is, and maybe this is too silly, you can be the judge, but how do you think your walk and your clothing and maybe like your sexual relationships would be different if your penis was in the center of your chest?
I actually think it would be much more normalized because like there's so much
there.
There's so much like secrecy and
well,
and like
ears myth would be weird if we
about,
never saw them
about mm-hmm. the penis, because it's like, it's not like boobs where it's like you have clothes over them, but like
you see
like the idea of boobs. And like if we
you
saw the
idea, single
yeah,
ball.
Right. Cause like
well,
I
got a boner too. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, we would probably like experience, arousal differently too.
Yeah, probably.
And, like, I don't know. Cause it's always frustrated me that like the idea that like a penis is like so alarming because I don't agree. I
love this.
Yeah, I think the penis is fine.
It doesn't
I think
have
it's,
to be aggressive.
No, it's lovely sometimes. And like I'm obviously very attracted to them.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have a different like take on it, but I
think they're lovely too, Michael.
Yeah, no, I think I don't find them. I'm not like, fuck, that's a penis. Like, what? Like, how do I get away from it? Like, I'm just like, part of me likes that, like the mystery of it. Like, the reveal is very like, arousing.
Sexy.
Yeah, it's very sexy. But at the same time, it's like, I'm so sick of it being this. I'm sick of like fighting for the penis on like television.
I was gonna say I'd like to see more dicks.
Yeah, so like
mostly
yeah.
just like a yeah. comic relief thing.
Yeah, like, and it's like a dick. It's like that.
It's
yeah.
like funny, and like if it's sexy, it's like a naked woman.
And it's yeah. also like if there is one, it's the only thing that people talk about when the movie's coming
most
out.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Which is like also with well, never mind. But same with if there's a gay character in a movie, it's the only thing that the
yep.
that yeah. marketing wise. But in that way, like I wouldn't. I forget the question.
How would you be if your like, dick was in your chest?
Yeah. Oh. What would your life be like? What would your clothes be like? I don't.
That's true. I mean, underwear would be really different.
Would there be?
Would there well, yeah,
be
cause
some
you,
kind of man bra?
Yes, there would.
Yeah.
So like the shape would be hit. Like would it would just be this lump?
Yeah.
In the it would be a lump. The yeah. way boobs are a lump. Yeah. I think.
Exactly. And then I guess culturally, either no one would be able to be shirtless in public, or everyone would.
Yes. Because
there would just be like, yeah, we all yeah. got something.
Yes. No. I think we all would yeah. be allowed to be shirtless then. Well, I don't know.
And then we all just have holes between
because
our legs.
Well, I feel this.
We're all
because
just like Ken Doll.
If men's genitals were in their chest, I think it actually would normalize, like free the nipple.
Yeah,
like,
it would finally free the nipple.
Oh, yeah.
Can we also talk about, like, logistically how, like, men raping anyone would be, like, really hard to do?
Yes.
Wait, would
It'd be, like, so easy to get away from someone who was trying to put their chest in.
Yeah, if women's anatomy was as it is.
If vaginas and anuses stayed where they are.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm very open to that.
Yeah.
Oh, dang. No, I think it would be like a free the nipple thing, because mm-hmm. if it were still in the society of like the patriarchy, 100% right. dudes would just want to have their shirts off still.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. We got this thing that we can't hide, so everyone gets
maybe to. Maybe there would be something called, maybe the term hot sock would be different.
Oh.
Like, maybe it would be for your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little sock that you put over it.
I feel like maybe we'd all be a lot more naked.
I think, yeah, or I just think like, would. Yeah, it would just be, I mean, like
titty
anything.
Titty fucking be hella yeah. easy.
Oh, that's right. That's
I mean, like, that would be like the go-to foreplay.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Everybody would be here for a titty fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That would be like.
Standing BJs.
It'd be the dry hump of teens.
Oh, wow.
Teens. The Mormons would, oh my God.
They'd have a special shirt.
They would have a special
oh!
shirt.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that we would be interesting. It. Yeah.
Guys, I think we cracked the code on chest dicks.
And how to equalize everything.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh.
Okay. So, I mean, file this away for like the clones of the future. We yes. might do like a little anatomical rewrite if you're open to it. Because I think we might have solved some problems. I don't know. I'm open yeah. to it. Yeah.
Dancers would just have their own little tassel.
Oh.
They would.
Oh, wait, can you imagine, like, the dance you could do? So you know that dance that makes the peen swing around in a circle?
Yes.
It's called a helicopter, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I feel yeah, like I've heard that terminology sure. before. I'm familiar, yeah. yeah.
Just doing that.
The dance you do. You literally just, like, swing your penis yeah, around so it's like a helicopter.
I don't have one.
It's
I
not like
know
a lot of choreography that goes yeah, into yeah. it.
5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah.
Anyway, it would just be like more of a shimmy, that's all.
Listen, I think we live a fuller life because there are dicks in the world, and I think that's true no matter what you're into sexually.
Yeah.
And
we're all fuller for it.
I'm yeah. open to them being more out and loud, and maybe that also means more women out and loud. But I don't know, like to wrap us up like we always do. We're going to tell you where to find us on the internet, but we're going to thank our homies, Michael and Peter, for being with us.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been great.
And I am genuinely a huge fan of your podcast.
Aww.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It's just been, yeah. Cue the applause.
Cue the applause. Put that in.
So on that note, if you want to find us on the internet this week, you can get at us. Where?
You can get at us via Gmail at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod, and we would love to hear your thoughts on masculinity. You know, do you relate to what you heard? Or do you have like a whole nother anecdote you should fill us in on?
Or where do you want the penis to be?
Yeah, I mean, elbows, like popliteal space. Like, I'm open to anything. If you have like another trademark idea on yeah. dick placement, let
you
us know.
You can tweet it at us at WAYLT tweets. And yeah, good night.
Good night. Good morning. Good day.
Do you guys want to say
bye.
Good
bye.